Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
You fucking think?
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Bruce Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, John Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband.
Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
All right, baby boys, we're here. It's a Real Ass Podcast. It's Friday. That's loud. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez. Wearing a rattlesnake, king of things, point guard of podcasting, coming at you from the Gas Digital Studios live here in the East Village of New York City. International superstar Zach D'Amico with me as always.
That's me.
What up, kid?
How you doing, brother?
Yay. All right. Two white guests. We're back to the white format, which is kind of nice. We had a Latino and a black earlier in the week, and it, you know, threw the world off. Okay?
I'll have you know I'm 1/15 a half Cherokee.
Okay, all right. Well, you know what, guys? They're okay. Both...
He means the car.
Jeep.
Both of these men are named Sean. I like that. Shannon said we're going to double down on the white. We're going to just pick two guys named Sean. They're going to have beards. It's going to be that.
This is true.
Sean
this
Patton.
This looks like we're auditioning for the same part.
Yeah, well, I've had people bring me up as Sean Patton on show.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, nothing alike on stage, but I understand why people.
You know.
You got the salt and pepper beards. Jesus, you guys are both Christ. Fucking. You both have fucking shitty Irishman faces.
But we need that to happen so that I don't get in trouble, like when I accidentally called Dave Temple Jordan Temple on a show.
Yeah.
What? They just is the same last name.
Yeah. That's way more precarious.
Sean Patton.
You can call us whatever you want.
Sean Donnelly are both in studio.
I mean, if you saw us sitting next to one another in front of like the Stonewall Inn, you'd be like, ah, look at these two bears. These two bears have found a cave together.
Love conquers all.
Look at these two fucking otter boars. These boars.
Yeah, you guys are both great.
B-O-R-E-S.
Support both of these guys in everything they do. We're gonna have an incredible show today. Let's just do our plugs real quick. Let's get it out of the way and let's get fucking moving. Let's get sailing.
Shit, dude.
It's a Friday, baby boy.
It is.
Is it?
Well,
yes.
I was like, no, it is Friday.
I'll buy into this.
Yeah. We pre-tape for Fridays and Tuesdays now.
Today's Friday.
Yes.
Friday,
end of the week right now. Very excited about the end of the week. This is why you have so much energy.
Yes, it's Friday.
We're ready for the weekend.
Thank God it is today, right?
Yeah.
Working for the weekend.
I'm not depressed that it's only Tuesday.
What are you talking about? That was 2 days ago, asshole. Get with the picture.
All right, what do you got to plug, Sean Patton?
Tomorrow, the 11th of June, I will be in Hattiesburg, Mississippi at the Thirsty Hippo. Go get tickets. There's still like three left. Go get them. It's going to be a fucking amazing show. And then next week, I'm in Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Mandeville, Louisiana. Go to my website, MeSeanPatton.com. All kinds of tour dates all throughout the rest of the year. My voice will be back.
Yes.
I promise. By tomorrow, Saturday, my voice will be back.
I love it. Donnelly.
Tonight, Friday, June 10th, I will be at New York Comedy Club on 4th Street taping a half crowd work, half material special. So please come down for that. You can go to New York Comedy Club's website for tickets. And I have a podcast called The Brand New Jerks that you can look up on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. Make sure to search it in YouTube and watch all the fun videos.
Very cool. Zach D'Amico.
Just check out my other shows here on the network. Bye Guys with Ian Finance and Zach D'Amico's Midnight Spook Show, Fridays at Midnight.
Very cool. This Thursday night, last night, was awesome, I should say.
Yeah.
Last night was fucking doggy. I changed the game.
Dude, it's all over the web.
If you guys weren't in Ontario, California last night, you guys missed something very special. So just fucking shame on you. However, if you're watching this live right now, tonight and tomorrow, I'll be at the American Comedy Company. Zach D'Amico's maybe with me. Who knows what's going to happen?
Tentative. We don't know.
We don't know what's going on with Zach. We don't know if he'll be there. Then June 17th, I'll be at Soul Joel's in Jeffersonville, Pennsylvania. Then we're going out to the Emmaus Theater in Emmaus, Pennsylvania. Zach D'Amico on all these shows, tentatively, I guess.
No, I'm on those.
Co-host Music Hall, June 25th in Albany, New York. And then me and Aaron Berg are kicking off the Offend Everyone Tour July 1st through 3rd at the Creek in the Cave in Austin, Texas. Jamie Kilstein, Kim Congdon on both of those shows as special guests. What a fucking crazy... We're touring. We're bringing special guests. It's going to be the fucking craziest tour you'll ever see. Heading down to Kansas City, Missouri, July 14th or 16th. And I'm going to be posting all of the other dates coming up. All throughout, up until December, I think me and Aaron Berg are going to be touring. All throughout Skankfest, all throughout that, all throughout everything. So come support that. lewisofskanks.com. I think that website's working now. Otherwise, go to lewisjgomez.standupglobal.com.
Ooh.
Because there was an issue with my website, and it was pointing in a weird direction. Either way, subscribe to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP. Get a 7-day free trial. Get instant access to the complete on-demand library for all the shows here on the network. Thousands of hours of content that you can't get anywhere else. And be a part of the Racist Live Chat. Which is always a lot of fun.
Yeah. Is that real?
It's a live chat. It's a live,
wait, is that real?
It's a live chat, and they are racist, yes.
Okay.
I love how Sean agreed with it and was like, wait, are you being serious?
I thought it was riffing. I was like, yeah, the racist live chat.
We don't really, that's fine with the plug music, but that we don't really police the racist live chat. It's sort of anything goes.
And plus, it's a live chat. It's like one of those things where, like, you have like 1,000 monkeys with typewriters. They're going to write Shakespeare. If you leave a live chat open, someone's going to put the N-word.
Inevitable.
It's going to happen. They're all calling us all the N-word right now on the Racist Live Chat, guaranteed.
Yeah. It's an honor.
So, yeah, look, we have an incredible show planned today. A lot of stuff happening right now. The first thing I got to say, we have an update on Doc Antle, which I'm very upset about. Do you guys know Doc Antle?
Yeah, didn't he get arrested?
He did. This is the Tiger exhibit that was on the Tiger
Doc
King.
Doc Antle?
Doc Antle was the one that had all the girlfriends.
Yeah, but he also ran... Didn't he run like a cult of some sort?
Come on, doggy. I went there. I brought my son there, and it was an incredible experience.
Did you meet Doc Antle?
I did meet Doc Antle.
How? And did he give you a creepy vibe?
No, he gave me a fucking warm, awesome vibe.
Is he a real doctor?
Probably.
I think he was. I watched a documentary about him, like the Post.
A doc...
Doc Antlemenery.
Fuck, yes. I love Jokes in the Wild. I call those Jokes in the Wild. You don't even realize that they're just sitting there, and you just fucking...
Just fitting for Doc Antle.
Yeah,
Jokes Doc Antle. But I watched the documentary, and they made it seem like he started as like a yogi type yoga guy,
yeah,
and then just kind of had this like this harem of women that would be around
they
his...
They just loved to fuck him.
Yeah, but wasn't he like mentally kind of a like wasn't it kind of along the lines of a cultish type behavior?
You know, dude, I gotta be honest with you. Whose side are you on? Like, like Doc Antle, he's been. We're trying to get a free Doc Antle hashtag going right now.
What are you gonna
sit here and fucking?
What are you gonna arrest?
Trashing the guy, kick a guy while he's down, dude. We're not even talking about his harem and his manipulation of women.
We're
where all the adult tigers could be. 10 baby right. tigers every year. Where are all the grown-up tigers?
Murdering a bunch of endangered animals on a grand scale.
So, listen to me.
I want to start a barber shop for dudes only where you get your hair cut by a group of women at a time, called it harem.
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 I'm gonna leave.
I gotta go find investors.
No, that makes sense. Like two, like one rubs your feet.
Yeah.
One gives you a massage. Harem.
One has a feather. One of those big feathers.
Yeah. So I tried to start an investment firm called CC Benson Capital. Okay, and I was looking for great ideas. That's a great idea.
Yeah, where
we can get investors on this, dude. I'm telling you right now, my I have a wide
net.
We can open up two in Springfield, Missouri. Wait, what did this guy get arrested for?
Money laundering.
Tax money. Yeah. Money stuff.
Laundering.
But he was under investigation for a bunch of other stuff. Like he would make like tigers disappear, and he had a whole thing where people who worked for him weren't getting paid for it. Wasn't that it? They weren't getting paid.
No, that was Gas Digital. I have a harem
called interns.
I have a harem. We have a lot of animals behind the window, and we're not paying anything. No, we pay very well, right, gals? Pitch booth. How happy are you with your pay?
Real talk.
Real talk.
Happy.
You're pretty happy, right? Well, why don't you dance a little bit for it? That's how you get a raise. If you guys want to get a raise, you dance a little bit. That's right. You got to get the gals dancing.
But the guy, yeah, if you watch the documentary, the guy did some shady shit and then ended up getting arrested for like money stuff. Like,
so the money laundering, apparently, and Shannon, you could fill in the blanks here, but the money laundering, apparently, he was set up by the FBI, right?
Yeah, he was doing a lot of the deals with an FBI informant The total amount, he's facing 20 years in prison for laundering $500,000 for, and he thought that the proceeds were from a human trafficking ring.
But it was an FBI fucking agent. It was a dirty pig.
He also thought he was getting a worker from Brazil in this trafficking.
Oh, he thought he was getting a worker?
A chick from Brazil.
How old was she? A hot Brazilian teen? That's my favorite type of porno.
Free the human trafficker. That's what I said.
It's all alleged. Don't be an asshole, dude.
I'm starting to think he's not such a good guy.
Why would he do this when he has such a fun, wonderful tiger land?
Because he's probably addicted to doing shady shit.
When you face death every day.
Listen to me, dude. It was like $500 a ticket or $400 a ticket for me and my son to go to this tiger zoo.
Where is it? Florida?
$400?
Well, way worse.
No, Myrtle Beach. It might have even been more. It might have even been like $600. I forget how much it was at the time.
Oh my God. Florida, South Carolina.
If you buy it really far in advance, you get it like a pretty good discount. But we bought our tickets like 2 weeks in advance, and it was like crazy. It was like $500, right?
Oh my God.
And Myrtle Beach also isn't cheap to go visit. It's such a trashy place, but the hotels are fucking crazy expensive. Like, everything's expensive, right?
They did build some like overly over the top nice hotels and that stuff.
Yeah, it's really nice. Like, I had a good time. We had a great time. Yeah, this is me and Doc Antle and the elephant.
Yeah,
but if you saw when he was younger, he looked like Yanni.
Look at my son's fucking face, dude. Look how happy he is touching this fucking elephant's trunk, dude. He's so happy. But and this elephant was super cool, dude. This elephant would fucking eat a whole watermelon in front of us.
That is a bowl cut on your son, for real, though, dude.
Dude, my kid is fucking, he's so happy.
Look at that hairline. It's legit.
Yeah, dude.
Straight across the brow, bro.
He's got hair, dude.
I know, but that's a bowl cut.
No, it's not a bowl cut. He had hair in the back.
Wait, okay. So what else would you get close to at the park? Like, elephants, I guess.
Go through the picture.
I mean, everything.
Tigers?
Dude.
Whoa.
That monkey was trying to kill me. We did this on the show the other day, so I won't reiterate.
Oh, okay.
But this monkey tried to kill me. Look at him. Look how happy. Look at him. Look at me. Look, I'm like, ooh. Ooh, little monkey.
You fist bumping the monkey?
I am fist bumping the monkey, dude. Dude, look at me. At this point, I said, look how cute these monkeys are, dude. They were so cool.
Because they're
so cool.
They're indentured servants.
Like, he was holding onto my neck. He loved me.
He looks like he's about to like dark do that. Like,
dude, it's one of the fucking
Stone Cold Stunner.
One of the coolest things you'll ever experience.
That's crazy.
It's real deal. It's like, you know, dude, but everything. They had hyenas like playing in your lap. They had fucking like all
hyenas.
These. Yeah, exotic.
Don't hyenas like bite your face off?
Yeah, dude. We had to wrestle my son out of a hyena's mouth. He was trying to take him off, but no.
Oh,
no. They're not wild, violent hyenas. Yeah. They wouldn't allow us to do
that. They're all doped up, too, right? They're all just a little... Yeah. They're micro-dosing them.
Like, when you see a 2-year-old...
You see
a 2-year-old with a gypsy lady, it's like, why isn't that baby woken up in 7 hours?
Yeah, they're all... Micro-dosing them with Valium.
I remember from the documentary, there was a thing where he, like, married some 16-year-old... Or 15-year-old, and, like, took her from her mom. Like, her mom... Like, the mom would call and ask about her.
Better life.
Oh, shit.
Better life.
Now, did the mom sign her over, like, classy?
No, it wasn't even that. It was just that she just didn't,
not
mom
like
didn't know and then found out and tried to track her down and couldn't.
So, yeah, look, he's apparently a pretty big piece of shit, but laundering $500,000, what do you net, 10% of that?
$73,500.
$73,000 was what he was going to make off it.
And a Brazilian child.
And I mean this. Well, that's
priceless.
That is priceless.
Apparently it's about $73,000.
Well, the amount of money that this guy makes is the point I was making. They do like two or three tours a day, like 5 days a week or whatever it is.
Yeah,
it's a wild amount of money. They make so much money. And then people donate in the gift shop. I mean, the fucking hoodie I bought my son was like $120 for a hoodie.
Wow.
It was, it's the amount. And then you can't take pictures. You have to buy their picture packages very specifically. Can't take your cell phones. They rack up money. So for $73,000, I wouldn't risk going. I'm not rich. I personally wouldn't risk going to jail for $73,000. That's not enough money. I'm not saying there's not a price that you can convince me to fucking try to do some illegal shit. You know, I think there's, if it's right on the table in front of you and you're fucking tempted, I understand. But you figure he's got to be a multi. What is his net worth? And it's not going to be real. I know the celebrity net worth things aren't real, but you know.
But also the operating costs of that place must be insane. So not that I'm saying he's not a multi millionaire, but. How much does it cost to run the place
right.
on top of that?
Yeah. And he's probably addicted to doing shady shit at this point.
100%.
It's the thrill of being... Like
$10 million. Do we have a picture of his house? Go down. Is that his house? His net worth of $10 million? I mean, dude, for it to be worth $10 million, $73,000, just there's not enough money to really make it worth it.
You guys, well, it means addicted to making money, though. He's addicted to probably doing illegal shit.
And he's probably laundering. He probably has 20 laundering schemes going on. Yeah, and this is the one that they set him up for because they know he's doing it elsewhere.
Yeah. It's kind of like how they got Al Capone on racketeering.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, they couldn't get him on murder and shit. But we know how to get him.
He has 10 money laundering schemes that are as lucrative as that, you know, that he's running a year that's
almost a million bucks.
Yeah, it's almost a million. So, all right, I understand. That's probably.
It's psycho when you realize at a certain point, all anybody wants to do is make money.
Yeah,
like that's, absolutely.
Like just anything, like even here, where you're just like, "Yo, doggy, I'm out here in these streets anyway." So, Blue Chew, if your cock's not hard enough, remember here, dude, get a Blue Chew, get a big fucking boner.
Plus, with his business, it probably makes sense because all he has to do is what, put another 3-4 people, fake people on each tour, and that's $2,000.
Oh, yeah, that is a good money laundering scheme, too.
Right? Because they're not going to know. The government can't tell you how many people paid to see the fucking tiger that day.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
It's also maybe a tax thing. Like, the amount of times you hear these guys get taken down for tax stuff, that's the one thing that all people make all this money, and they just like, I'm not paying taxes.
I understand that. Yeah. Every time I pay taxes... Yeah. I understand why people risk it all, because it just feels, when 90% of Americans, I'm assuming, I don't know the percentage, most people have a job where the taxes are taken out.
It's taken away.
And it doesn't, you sort of don't even like look at it as anything. You go, no, the amount of money I make is what I take home. Right. And then I get a little fucking, I got a few $1,000s at the end of the year. That's fucking sweet.
Yeah.
And it's really set up. So the American people, I'm sounding like Dave Smith right now. This is some taxation stuff. But it's really genuinely set up to where you almost feel like they're giving you something back.
Oh, sure.
And you go like, oh, at the end of the year, I get to fuck it. Look at this. This is great. Thank you, government, for taking a third to half of my money.
Yeah.
And that, and 90, whatever, however, I don't know what the percentage. Can you look up the percentage of Americans that have taxes taken out versus pay their own taxes?
And basically what they're saying is, ooh, we fucked up. Here's some of your money back.
Yes. Yeah.
It's basically just course correcting.
Yeah.
And it is the most wild thing, like, that everyone is just sort of okay with it. That it, and 77% of filers receive a refund. 60%? No, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking how many people pay their taxes themselves versus how many people have their taxes automatically taken out. When you pay your own taxes and they just give you like, hey, here's a bill. It's fucking crazy.
Well, not only, hey, here's a bill, you have to figure out the bill.
Oh, it's infuriating, dude. Like, you know, go to the kitchen and itemize everything?
That in like
at a restaurant, they're like, no, look, I need you to go figure out how much the cost of everything is. Do all the math, take it all out, and make your own food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dude.
It's crazy.
I read a thing that in like England and shit, they just send you the bill.
They just send you the bill.
And we have the capacity to do that, and we just don't.
Because freedom. I guess.
Also,
I guess
because they make so much money in interest, people filing extensions.
Oh, yeah, they want people being in debt.
And plus, their version would be right. I bet so many people overpay because they're scared.
Oh, yeah, I overpay. I unquestionably overpay. I told my accountant, I was like, I never want to be audited. I was like, I don't want to cut any fucking corners.
I owe back taxes probably I'll be paying off for the next like 8 years probably.
Yeah,
I'm
in the same boat.
I think everyone is in the same.
I mean, it's not going to be that long for me, but I owe some back taxes that I caught up on that are like, doggy. It'll fucking hit you.
I saw Lewis's tax bill one time and I wanted to cry.
My sister did cry. Yeah. My sister saw my tax bill and she cried because she couldn't comprehend paying some, like owing that much money. She thought like, oh, they're gonna come get you. Like, what are you gonna do? I was like, well, no. I mean, like, I owe that. Yeah.
You and Doc Gantle are gonna run off. Yeah, dude. He's gonna live on his land.
It really is. It's a weird trick when they take the taxes out for you and it's all just done because you just sort of give it away and you go like, oh, it's no problem. But I feel it so much. And it makes me so fucking angry. And the fact that I don't know what the percentage is, but it's like 90% of our tax dollars go towards like the military. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts. A wild amount of our money goes towards the military. Nobody wants that. If you ask every American, like, do you want to have a powerful military that's fucking, everyone would go, no, we don't really give a shit about that. Would you guys like to pay half as much in taxes to have less of a powerful military? Yeah, let's fucking do that. Like, if they were taking our tax money and giving it to fucking like poor children, look, I still wouldn't love it, but it would be, I could get there emotionally.
Yeah, sure.
20% of defense security, that's not true.
Man, that trip to Doc Holliday's, what was it? No, Doc Handel's.
Which really, can be understood really, as a
really softened Lewis up here. You talk about poor children, bro. Look at you.
Poor Doc Antle. That's what I'm saying.
Doc
the point of all of this.
Coming around here.
He I was trying to save a 15-year-old Brazilian child from a life in the favelas.
Maybe people were going to get to take pictures with the Brazilian child.
Do you know the AIDS rate in Brazil? It's through the roof.
There's a statistic where it's like our budget, you could fit the next 15 countries. The next 15 countries with the highest military budget, you could fit their budget within our budget and have money left over. Something crazy like that.
Nobody saw that just now, but I tried to take a sip of coffee and I just threw it at my chest. I tried to swig it like it was Popeye throwing spinach into his mouth. I don't know. I've never attempted to drink anything like that. That was fucking wild, dude.
Next, you're just going to squeeze it. Squeeze it at your face.
You just hit, came so close to punching me right in the nose, by the way.
Excuse me. All right, gentlemen, let's take a quick moment and thank YoKratom.com for supporting today's show. YoKratom is home of the $60 kilo. If you guys are in the market for Kratom, support YoKratom. They support everything we do, including the marquee sponsors for Skankfest, the marquee sponsors for YoMMA Rap, all of these amazing things here at the network.
And guys, you've noticed the price of everything is going up. Gasoline, groceries, your rent. You know what isn't going to increase in 2022? The price of a kilo of Kratom from YoKratom.com. These guys are the best, and they are committed to getting you a $60 kilo delivered to your door. So that means no more going to gas stations, bodegas, or smoke shops. We can just go to YoKratom.com.
YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Support them. All right, where were we? All right, let's see. Poor Doc Antle. That's what I said. Free Doc Antle. Hashtag it. Get it out there. Let's try to get him out of federal prison. I think we have enough gomites out there. Let's break him out. Yeah. You know, guys, free Real Ass Podcast t-shirt. Anybody who breaks Doc Antle out of federal prison.
That's worth it.
Hell yeah.
You like the movie Ace Ventura? Guess what? Yeah. Say thank you to Doc Antle. Those are some of his animals.
They were his animals.
Yeah, no. That's what he used to bring. He used to train animals for movies.
Well, yeah, so he was very famous for that. Like in all, and not even just that movie, like in a bunch of movies. There's when you go and you're waiting for your pictures, like they have like on TV screens, like a little like mini documentary. Not the same one that you saw.
Just have to play the Netflix documentary.
Yeah, dude. Like this guy's a piece of shit who manipulates and rapes women.
But enjoy it.
No, but it's like a documentary on like the Antle family and all of his kids and like all the shit that they do on movies. And it's pretty incredible. Like, you know, I like him.
Yeah.
I like him, guys. I don't know what you want me to say here.
He is also still facing multiple charges of animal endangerment.
Shut up, Shannon.
There it is.
Well, if you give away a t-shirt, just remember that, 'cause you got to write it off as promotion.
That is true.
He did the animals for one of my company's movies in the 90s, and we asked my boss about like him and shit, and he's like, yeah, he was like a shady, weird dude or whatever, and we're like, what were the animals like? So it was this movie called Kabuki Man.
Animals are just smoking cigarettes.
And they had
scoliosis.
A character in the movie that was a monkey that was supposed to like pickpocket people and had all these things it was trained to do. And the monkey was just driving people nuts on set, throwing shit at people, pranking people. And then they brought in one of Doc Antle's tigers. And the monkey wouldn't stop fucking with the tiger, pull its tail and run away and shit. And every day the tiger, my boss would just look at it and be like, wait. And one day they let go of the tiger and he just jumped on the monkey, put its head in its mouth and held it there. And the monkey started screaming and Doc Antle pulls the tiger off of him. The monkey went catatonic and forgot years of training. So now when you watch the movie, this monkey that was supposed to have all these parts of the movie, every shot of it is just like this.
I mean, of course, Doc Antle, there's no normal, chill animal people.
No, there's not.
If you spend your life working with animals, you're
more than two animals.
Yeah, you're out there.
Of any kind. Yeah, more than two cats, more than two dogs. If you
dog owners in New York are some of the most psychotic fucking people.
But if you own more than two dogs
and stuff,
you're a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, dude, we did a movie with duck. We had to have a trained duck. And when you get a duck, you need three because they need friends. The lady that hangs with
like
the ducks.
He's got a fucking
two Dave, less talented ducks.
Yeah, David Lewis duck. Just
but the lady that ran, that was like the duck lady, was fucking bonkers.
Oh yeah.
She was just a crazy, like, and she was exactly who you think it's going to be when the duck lady shows up.
There's no way she didn't have a duck sweater.
I don't believe that any service animal is real.
goes, she did.
You think, wait.
I don't believe that anytime I see somebody with a service animal, I start looking at them sideways like, okay, dude, I know what the fuck you're doing. You got a fucking little jacket online, you fucking piece
of
shit. You paid
$80 for
get out of your wheelchair. This is a scam.
Take off those sunglasses.
You can just Lewis yelling at handicapped people.
Yeah. So, it makes me furious. Every time I see a service animal, I'm like, oh.
Well, it went to this insane level. Wasn't there a guy who brought a peacock on a plane?
I got a story about that. I'm so sorry.
No, go for it.
So when we make our movies, we put out an ad. If you have a classic car, a crazy prop, an exotic animal that you want to be on film, contact us. The girl that tried to bring her service peacock came to our office.
Get out of here.
And his name was Dexter.
Of course.
So then the director is a crazy old man. He's like, the peacock's got to be in the movie. The movie's in a strip club. There's no reason for a peacock. Yeah. So this girl, after, is like, oh, I want to be in the movie, gives us a list of shit the peacock needs. She needs a fucking U-Haul for all the peacock stuff, but the peacock needs to sit in the front of the U-Haul with her. And she goes, oh, he needs food. We need to shoot during these hours, during these specific days, because this is when he molts. So we have to change our locations around now. And it's just weeks and weeks of hearing about this fucking peacock. And every week, the director's like, gotta have the peacock. 2 days before we're supposed to shoot, at like 5 a.m, I get a text. I'm so sorry to tell you this, but Dexter fell ill last night. And he died in my arms on the way to the vet. I will be in mourning, and he is my best friend. I'm going off the grid for the next month while I mourn my best friend, Dexter. Please respect my privacy at this time. And I just got to send a group text to 50 people that was, peacock's dead. I slept the best sleep of my life.
Yeah. Ours was 4 paragraphs.
Yeah, cancel the Utah. Cancel the U-Haul.
Peacock's dead.
We're saving some cash.
Yeah, you'll hear about that a lot. I mean, a dog, you'll always see it. I'm not saying anybody. Obviously, if there's a blind person with a fucking dog, that's one thing. But you see just like some fucking bitch.
A lot of times, just a girl wants to travel with her animal because she lacks a personality.
A lot of people. And then they go, well, I want to be, and it's a fucking scam. And you're bringing your animal into other people's space. Animals like, I didn't sign up for an animal. You know, this is what Big J and Christine, they bring their dog to the stand all the time. It's like, people at the stand didn't sign up for a dog while they have dinner or watch a comedy show. I'm just saying, that's a lot. You're bringing livestock to a fucking public place.
And a dog.
Get it.
Ah, fuck, dude. Whatever. Yeah, fuck people with, animals.
I feel like, you know what it is? You can blame the rules for getting a service animal are the same things when you take like a defensive driving course. You basically just show up, pay a check, and then you get yourself the certification.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I just don't like people who won't treat it like it's an animal. It's not smart. I mean, it's smart for an animal.
Some animals are pretty damn smart.
No.
For an animal.
But even the smartest dog, you can make it watch another dog get hit by a car.
Yeah.
And then let it go, and it'll do the same fucking thing.
Well, that's why I love that. That nature is metal. You know? Nature is metal.
I just say when you're like somewhere and you're like, no, or you like raise your voice at a dog and you're like, hey, it's like, it's an animal. It responds to tone.
So that nature is metal page, it's a great thing because everyone talks about how smart their dogs are. And I guess there's another guy who has like an alligator like page where it's all alligators, like his Instagram page, right? And a lot of the videos on his page are alligators just fucking biting dogs' heads off, right?
Jeez.
And he talks about it, he breaks it down. He's like, dude, we have made dogs the dumbest animals. I was like, the way we've bred dogs, we've bred them to lose all of their primal instincts. They are not smart. It is the opposite of smart. It was like they have no. I was like, so they'll very often go to the edge, they'll see a crocodile, and then they'll just start barking at it, wagging its tail, going, rah, 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 and it's just wagging. And the crocodile's coming up with its eyes, and you're just seeing this dog going, hop, 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 and then it eats it and pulls it down.
Yeah.
See, I do think there's dogs that sense danger. That's why they have it when UFOs show up, dogs, the hairs on the back, their hairs go up and they start.
UFOs? What the fuck are you talking about, Sean?
Not UFOs, but anything.
When UFOs show up, dogs, maybe 4 people in the world have claimed to see. What the fuck are you talking about?
Dogs are smart. They see ghosts.
I let my dog do my taxes. I don't know anything.
No, but it's true. I've seen a dog react to another bigger dog.
God damn it, I owe the IRS 75 milk boats. Bullshit.
I tried to sneak UFOs into the conversation.
No, it's, I mean, I'm not saying there's not smart dogs. I love dogs. I grew up with dogs, Labradors, but like,
yeah,
they're still not, they're not, the smartest dog is still IQ of 40.
Yes. Like, no,
I just say when people treat it like, no, he's processing. It's like, no, he's not. He's looking for food.
Yeah.
He's looking for food.
Yeah. I'm thinking about
it. It loves you because you feed it.
All right, really quickly, we must thank Meepod.com for supporting today's show. If you're over the age of 21 years old and you guys are vaping, well, guess what? You got to get your vape pens from Meepod.com. Shannon, you are a Meepod smoker. This is all you do is I see you putting Meepods. Look, she's holding it up right now. You guys can't see it, but she's holding it up right now. It's pink. It's adorable. Tell me, what is the reason you chose Meepod over your former vaping options?
Well, I love the little device. I currently use the refillable, but I sometimes also use the disposables. But it's so tiny. It's so easy to hold on you. I also like that it's cute and it's pink. And their flavors are the best flavors.
What flavors do you like?
Right now, lemon bar.
Lemon bar. Yeah. See, it's like candy, children.
Yeah.
Listen to me. If you guys are under 21, get your parents' IDs. I'm kidding. Don't do that. Don't even listen to the show if you're under 21. But if you are over 21 years old, take it from us. Meepod is the best on the market. They have the refillables. They have the disposables. They have everything you need. They even have 420 options if you're a weed smoker like me.
Absolutely. Meepod has fast shipping with most orders shipping out the same day. So if you vape or you smoke, you're going to love Meepod. Please support the sponsor that supports our show by going to MIPOD.com. And you can use our promo code RAP for 15% off. One more time, guys. That's Meepod.com, MIPOD.com. Promo code RAP for 15% off. Thank you guys for supporting the show. Let's get back into it.
So I'm staying in Jersey now, Fish. Mm-hmm. I was debating moving back to New York. Now I'm definitely staying in Jersey.
Oh, no.
Which is great.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't know if that's... No, yeah.
I love it. I'm very happy about this. But now I'm thinking about getting my son another dog. And I hung out one of the openers in Dallas this past weekend, Anna Buenstrello, who's a very funny comedian and a cool chick. And she brought her dog out. She was this fucking dumb asshole with her dog out the whole time, everywhere, going to the bar with it. I'm like, same shit. Like, nobody signed up. But I will say that this dog was fucking adorable.
Yeah.
I fell in love. I fell in love with this little fucking dog.
What was it?
A cockapoo.
Oh, yeah. Those are cute.
I mean, you got to get it just because it's hilarious.
It's a cock and poo is in the name. It's hilarious.
Yeah, you
know. When my son gets that at 11 or 12, he's like, Dad, you realize it's cock and poo? Like, that's why I got the dog.
That's why we named him Prism.
Oh, yeah. Those dogs are...
He was all black.
Designer dogs.
But, he was fucking... Dude, this dog, the disposition to this little pup, I mean, he just was like... upside down kissing, like looking at you through his eyes, just like doing a lot of, like, it was it melted my fucking heart.
That's why we have dogs. You're not trying to have a debate.
No,
with
but not every dog is that like that.
Right,
laying
right.
It on that thick.
Right, right, right.
No, it depends on the dog itself. But yeah. I just hope that if you get, you're not going to do the
that's
thing.
That's what he looked like.
Because you're in a house, right? You're not going to do the thing where, you remember growing up and some families would like not let their dog inside? I knew a couple of kids.
What?
I thought that, I know a couple, they know the dog opposite. House. Oh, you guys did it?
My dad had a shop downstairs and the dog wasn't allowed in the house. It was a shop dog.
I always feel bad for those dogs.
Well, shop dog's not that bad. That's fine.
No, in the shop.
No, it was a filthy welding shop. It was pretty bad. It wasn't a good way to live. It was real cold.
You go in there, the dog's got the visor on. You're going to lock me in there. I'm going to lose my mind.
No, my one friend growing up, they had a big backyard, but he had like a dog house in the backyard and it was never allowed inside. And I always felt bad for that dog.
Yeah,
if you get a cockapoo, will you name it Toilet Wine? We saw a shank because prison.
Yeah, yeah.
Cock and poo.
Cock and
name
poo,
it shank.
It.
Oh, shit dick.
I always wanted to get a female dog and name it bitch. It's a great name for a female
dog. It's kind
dog.
Of on brand.
Coolest dog name I've ever seen. A guy I knew in Louisiana has a half Jack Russell, half Black Lab, named it Ace because it's a blackjack. That's a good fucking name.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. So we'll see. I do travel too much. I almost feel like that's the problem. I'm on the road all the fucking time now.
Yeah,
take it with you. Get a service dog.
I think I'm gonna
just become the guy you hate.
Become the guy you hate.
I'm only gonna go on the road half the year. I've decided this. I'm only gonna go on the road half.
Who goes on the road more than half the year?
Well, no, no, no. I'm saying like I'm not going to continuously.
I'm only going to do 120 dates a year, guys.
No, no, no. That, what
no,
I'm
he
saying,
means like 6 months on, 6 months off.
I'm not going to go tour.
I see what you're saying. Like six months. Congest it or
yeah, yeah. Just do everything in that 6 months and then just stay in town and not travel a bunch because it's fucking it's a lot. Leaving my kid for fucking
way too much. Wait, when? What months are you going to stay?
I think I'll probably tour in the summer and fall.
And stay winter and spring?
Yeah, maybe vacation in the winter, take like a few weeks off, go to the Caribbean or something like that. Or
fuck, dude. Yeah. That sounds pretty bad. I'm like, yeah, that's actually a good idea.
You could just set up your, you know your dates. You could just
touring in the summer, less to pack, less to travel with.
Yeah.
You get to sweat more.
Yeah. Be in shape. You're always going to be in shape. You're going to be more motivated to be in shape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's also traveling in the winter for comedy shows, and then you end up going, and then they end up getting canceled.
They're not good. It also sucks. I go every time in the wintertime, I end up traveling really far. It's freezing. It's brutal. It sucks.
I love working with you, but your agent does like to book us in the worst places in the cold.
My former agent. No, he's still my agent. But
snap! And until Friday, until this comes out tomorrow. No.
He's great. He's fucking killing it. You guys want to introduce me to your guys? I mean, I could use someone. Yeah. Let's go.
Hey, you guys want to do a theater in Boston in January? They have a heater from 1952. It sounds like this when you turn it on.
I know you guys can only sell 200 tickets in a one-nighter, but we're going to put you in an 800-person theater. Right? Yeah, you're going to pay a rental, rental fee for it. Everyone's going to love it.
Do you know what I think? I think that's most of the year for those theaters. Like, yeah. I think most of the time those theaters are barely filling in a few hundred tickets. And they have a thousand seats.
I was like, what are we doing? Just put me in a fucking back of a bar instead of this. Like,
yeah.
Instead of paying $6,000 off the top just to fucking show
up. Social media. They want everybody to get that same pick.
Yeah.
That same, like, look at all these thousands of people behind me.
Well, I did that. And, so, you know, what I did was I made all of my people sit in one little section. I moved them all so I can get the Schultz picture, and I had them all cheering. Shannon, is that still out there, or is that gone
That's
now?
It's a good idea.
I think it was on your story.
I did a casino once in Northfield, Ohio. It was a Hard Rock casino where they had comedy shows. But the prices, they'll do this too, especially at casinos. The prices of the seats were different because it was like everybody was perfectly equidistant spread out in this room. It was gigantic.
Never buy the more. I shouldn't say that because then the front row has nobody in it, but like there's no difference. And honestly, if nobody's in the front row, they're going to let you move up to the front row.
They didn't. That was the thing. I asked the guy, I go, hey man, me and the guy on the show, we go, hey dude, this is so spread out. Can we have them all move to the front? And he goes, that's a corporate decision. It would be take about 3 meetings to figure that out. And I go, can we just not tell anybody? And he was like, nah, sorry. And it fucked up like a bunch of the shows.
It just sucks.
Wait, I just fucking realized something. I gotta look up this place because this dude, I met this guy at a bar about 3 weeks ago. He's like, dude, he's a big fan of this podcast.
Nice.
Right? And then just talked shit at me for like 2 hours at the bar.
About what?
About just how much I suck and how fat I am.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, like in like a funny, like he thought he was being funny.
Oh, he's being a ball buster.
But he was a chef.
But he wasn't.
But he was a chef. And at the end of the night, I just kind of like was like, you know, fucking whatever.
He was a chef, so. But he was a chef. Fucking Patton just dealt with it. I got to get him with this guy.
No, he said if I shout him out, he'll give everybody free food.
Free food. All right, shout him out.
Fuck.
Let's go.
I'm trying to remember the name of the place.
While he looks it up, Lewis, I found the Boston thing.
Oh, yeah. Look at this.
Oh, that's perfect. That's what you do. I love how you call it the Schultz picture. Ooh, you're kind of showing back.
I just showed the empty balcony. Yeah, you can see the empty balcony.
Yeah, it's not good if you can see all of one person in the front.
It's not good when the shot is mostly Lewis's head.
I stink. We have fun.
It's a smart idea, though. I think that's kind of half why people do those things anyway. It's like it puts up this.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and this is not a knock on any of these guys. Like Schultz is incredible. I think Schultz is a great comedian and a great dude.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I think Tim Dillon. Cool Tim Dillon's dude. A very, very good friend. Yeah, brilliant comedian. Right. Great dude. But it's like, you know, Seinfeld has done fucking Radio City. It wasn't a big deal. He didn't make it like, look, I'm like, it's just, he was like, yeah, I do Radio City. That's what I do. I'm a fucking pro. Yeah. And it's a weird, it's a different, like, it's social media generation. It's like, you have to sort of like, it's an example of how you have to like live your life bigger. And I feel like a fucking loser when I do that stuff. I feel like an asshole. But I don't have, obviously, the following that these guys have. I'm not doing theaters like that. But, you know, when I'm out after shows, like, sort of, piecing together my night on my story.
Yeah.
I feel like a hack when I'm fucking, look at the food I'm having, look at the fucking cool
it
people.
It burns my soul, dude.
It's a problem because you need to sort of do that stuff in order to grow, because people get excited because they want to be a part of it. And I'm pretty good with social media. I'm pretty good with, like, you know, with being responsive to people and taking pictures. I mean, dude, I do meet and greet every show. I don't charge people for a meet and greet. There's not a higher ticket price. I just go outside. I go outside of the club and I'll just shake hands with people and take pictures because that's just who I am. But it's not, I don't have a video guy there, like, you know, taking a video of the line and being like, oh, what do you think of fucking Gomez? He's like, oh, he's the fucking mouth, and fucking show up in a helicopter and fucking
I mean, that's a different level. I understand that, but I'm saying
I think that it's an example of everybody sort of, and this is all the guys that are out there doing it. If you watch everyone's social media, it is, you know, and this is on a even a larger scale, everyone does this in life. If you're just a person who works a regular day job, more than likely your Instagram is just full of all of your wins and all of these moments that where you're fucking kicking ass and taking names, but it's all of the in-between shit, which sucks. For me as a comedian, that's what's funny, and that's what I should accentuate. So when we're in the back and that heater's gone, and it's like, it sounds like a motorcycle engine, this is what's heating the room, that's what we post to social media, because that's fucking hilarious.
Or when our green room had a loose toilet in it.
So it's just a weird thing, and that's how I'm built as a comedian. That's what I always found funny. If you look at Dave Attell, like, sort of the way that he is, he gets off stage, he's like, I suck, I'm a hack, and he wears his dirty old jacket, and he's fucking smoking a cigarette, and he's a fucking millionaire, by the way, but you wouldn't know
and
it from,
brilliant,
the best living comedian. And you wouldn't really know it from the way that he carries himself. And I think that's maybe the difference when you talk about New York and LA comedy. That might be the biggest glaring difference between sort of New York and LA.
Well, they've kind of figured out, they realize that the podcast and the social media thing can really parlay the career stuff, and then you can then stand up. Not that stand up secondary, but they can't get up as much, so they realize this is the shit that we can work on.
Yeah, of course.
And they realize that show business matters, or even if it's DIY show business.
Yeah,
but they're also like creating excitement, and that you're part of this huge thing. Like,
yeah,
the way Bert does it, I think people feel like they're part of this huge show, and like he can't go and meet everybody anymore, but they can be part of this big experience.
Yeah, and also like, you know, it's. Look, I'm wrong in what I'm saying. Like, I should do more of that shit.
I don't think you're wrong, because I think there's going to be a next thing.
Yeah.
There's going to be a next evolution, because I also think I'm starting to see the fatigue of it happen.
It's super saturated.
The beginning of the fatigue of your average person being like, I don't want to watch another goddamn crowd work clip. I don't want to watch another
I did a few of them, and I was like, this sucks.
Well, I don't want to put that shit out there. I don't want to put out subpar shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have a level of goddamn quality I need to meet for myself.
And you're right. Throwaway crowd work, hack lines in the back of a club, which half the time, they're not even like, you listen to some of them, you're like, what is this even?
Yeah.
You just literally, you got a laugh, and now it deserves to be online. That's a crazy way to be. I think you're right about that, and I do think there is fatigue. I think people are like,
people are seeking
out
quality.
They sort of roll their eyes at these clips that are coming out now.
Some are worse. Some are where you're like, did they just arbitrarily pick a start and end point to this clip?
Yeah.
And I don't know what the point of the clip was.
I know exactly who you're talking
about. It's also the kind of shit it's breeding, too, because now you've got, I think, people showing up, you know, in clubs, and they're just like on Facebook Live or whatever, or Instagram Live the whole time. You're like, wait, are you just online right now? Are you talking to me? I'm like, I'm backing away from
that's
walking away. That's from the thing that happens.
I was about to say the N-word.
But if you're, that's the thing I hate, when people are in a public setting and they're putting 15 stories on while you're having a conversation with 3, 4, 5 people. That's the downfall.
And that's false. I know people whose social media feed is more interesting than their life.
Everyone.
Absolutely.
Everyone. Sad. Well, that's sort of that's the idea, right?
Yeah.
It's like everyone's going on vacation. Yeah. Everyone's having great drinks, great food. Everyone's in shape. Everyone's got a beautiful face with full lips, and everyone's got perfect skin. It's like, no, this whole thing is all fake. Nobody's happy. Nobody's actually fucking, I don't know.
If you were truly happy with your life, you wouldn't need the constant validation of strangers.
I was happy for a day and a half. Do you guys remember earlier in the week?
A day and a half?
It's gone. It's gone. You remember how happy I was, Shannon? I was like, wow, dude, everything is, I went on a whole speech about how everything was moving in the right direction and everything was interconnected. My mental health, my physical health.
Yoga that morning?
I did yoga that morning. I was like, dude, I'm just fucking grounded. I feel like a new me. I feel like garbage again. Garbage. Life stinks.
Yeah, that's just what happens. I think you're right. But I think we all, I think, I know that everybody probably feels that way. And don't you still look at your phone and you're like, why can't I be as happy as this? Hey, everything's working out for this guy. Yeah. Why can't I be like that? And then you have to like take a beat and go, oh no, that's, it's online.
I think that's starting to happen like with online comedy again, where it's like shit that actually is good pierces through it all. It takes longer. You just have to be able to ride it out a little bit longer, but like,
right, and comedy's fair in that. I will say comedy is fair in that
meritocracy.
The cream rises to the top, and it always does. And I don't know many people who are really funny, like really funny, and put in the work, paid their dues. Because it doesn't matter. You can be really funny and very early in comedy. It's just like those opportunities just haven't come yet. It's a game of numbers. You have to sort of be in it, right? But I don't know anybody who's like really funny and worked hard. At the very least, isn't making some fucking cash, you know, being a comic. I don't really know many people, you know, where it's like, wow, dude, that guy got a real unfair. Usually you could point for the reason why. Usually there's something wrong with their work ethic, or it's something wrong with their, you know, interpersonal skills, whatever.
They're not fun to be around.
They're not writing at all. It's the same 15 minutes for 20 years. Yeah.
So, but for the most part, it's a very fair business. You can't really hate on it.
So stand up, I think you're saying.
Stand up. Yeah. Stand up in general. Yeah. You know, and the things that branch off of that as well.
Well, it's like music in the 90s.
I'm not saying that there's not outliers where it's not like, you know, there's some shitty comics that get a lot of great opportunities. Right. And then there's some great comics who probably should be fucking millionaires, but because maybe they're just a tall, skinny white guy, you know, it's like Joe List might be one of the funniest comics in the world, right? In terms of stand-up comics.
Yeah.
He doesn't make the fucking money that some of these other guys make.
Wait till that movie comes out, gets him an Oscar.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be crazy. That'd be fucking wild, dude.
Joe List gets an Oscar.
Yeah. Guys, don't support that movie. They cut me from that movie.
I think I was there.
I need you to call theaters and let them know that you're not okay with this movie. Don't mention Louis C.K. Just
that'd be so funny. Like, hey, I'm really morally against this movie. because of Louis? Yes, they cut him.
They cut me from this movie. I didn't want to be in a movie. I promise you, I swear on everything.
What do you mean you didn't want to be in the movie?
I don't give a shit about being in a movie at all. I don't want a career. I have a career where I make people come to me, right? And if you want to hear the shit I want to do, you know, I have platforms and podcasts and stand up, and I'm not trying to be in Hollywood. I'm not trying to be one of those guys, right? So I think that gives me a certain layer of protection for the type of shit, the comedy that I do, and the shit that I say.
Sure.
Right? This was a special project. It was a friend of mine's project, and I just wanted to show my son me in a movie scene. My kid would have gotten a real kick out of it. He would have loved it.
Oh, he's going for the heartstrings on the.
No, it's true though. He would have really gotten a kick out of it. And that's the only reason I really gave a shit. Being in a fucking movie means nothing. I lost money on it. I had to pay my fucking SAG fees, and I got paid less money to do the movie, and it got cut.
Yeah, the SAG mafia.
Can
bro.
Louis pay me my fucking SAG fees back? It's crazy. He's got a fucking yacht.
Still?
I think he sold that yacht.
I don't know. I'm just asking. I would assume that might
plus
have been.
Plus, Louis, first thing I'm not knocking you. I feel like your ADD and your personality is the opposite of what it takes to be on set. Because you're at the whim of everyone else's
it's
time.
It's hurry up and wait when you do those things.
Yeah, no,
yeah. It can be kind of brutal.
I've done a decent amount of television. I've done a decent amount of fucking, you know.
Do you feel like you can tell?
Yeah, guys, I'm you know, I've been around for a while.
Do you feel like you can tell now because they churn and burn shows out so much now that sometimes you're watching a show and it's like, oh, this was like the third take and they were just like, we're moving on.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of acting now where it's like, there's no way that was the best version of that, but they were on the schedule.
Yeah,
I've been watching Stranger Things, and the one kid that was like the kid that got kidnapped, whatever happened.
Will, that kid
is now what 18, and he stinks at acting. That show is so good, but if you watch scenes between him and his friend,
I fell off in like season 3.
Oh, it's good. It's good. But I watch this kid now, and I'm like, oh, this is a kid that was a really good kid actor, and then he got puberty hit, and he was like, and then now he's just terrible.
Yeah, I haven't watched that in a while. But I don't want to be. I genuinely don't like. It's like that's not exciting to me either. Like acting is not an exciting craft for me. Whenever I fucking have acted, I feel like an asshole. I do like, and when I get up on stage to do stand up, like the first time you're like, whoa,
yeah,
that's wild. That's a completely unique, different feeling that has immediate gratification and immediate results, even on the shittiest level. When you're a shitty young comedian, you get a couple laughs. Like, it's fucking like, wow, dude. Like,
do you remember your first time?
Yeah.
Do you remember the one thing that threw you off the most that you were like, oh, wasn't expecting that? Like, I'll give you an example. Hearing my voice amplified.
Oh, really?
Fucked with me. I remember being like, hello. Oh, Jesus.
I was already a performer. I was in a band. I was in a band when I was younger. I was in theater. I was in plays.
Were you?
Yeah, yeah. I was already a performer.
You were a theater kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm shocked.
But so this is all an act? Once again, they believe me, Luis J. Gomez, to be the rattlesnake.
He goes, he's white.
He's from Shaftesbury, England.
I was a weird kid. I liked doing the things that people didn't expect of me when I was in high school. So whereas I was like a poor kid who like had a lot of shit and a drug addict mother, I'm going to join the dramas. I just knew a couple kids who were in it, and then I was like, I'll do it. Fuck it, let's go. And my friends who were like from the hood were like, what the fuck are you doing, you fag? And I was like, no, it's awesome. And, you know, the kids who were in drama sort of didn't like me because they were like, what is this fucking like? He's making a mockery of like the thing that we love to do. This was like their thing, you know?
Right. Well, drama kids can be very, very.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. I ended up becoming friends with a lot of them, and it was a really cool experience. My son does plays now. So I had experience performing by the time I got on stage, but I was still fucking rattled to my core, nervous.
Yeah.
I was also running my own shows. So I was running my own shows before I ever did stand-up comedy. So when I just started hosting my own shows for the first year I did comedy, just to not have to pay a host. I was like, fuck it. And I secretly just wanted to be a comic.
I had the same similar thing where I literally went up on the first, I ran a show and went up on the first show and just said names. I was like, hey guys, how are you?
So I did a couple shitty like hack jokes, you know, like fucking, I remember one of the, you know, my grandfather died in the Holocaust. He fell out of a watchtower. I said that my first time on stage.
I get it.
What else?
I didn't realize the Holocaust happened in Mexico.
Yeah.
Why was there a thing that you threw you your amplification threw you off? You don't have. I had it where just how shitty watching open mics is what made me want to try comedy. And then the first place I did it was
watching shitty comedy.
See,
if I would have watched shitty comedy, I might not have inspired. I watched good comedy, and they made
tons of good comedy.
They made it look
I can't
effortless.
Do this.
But that's the thing. I was going to the New York Comedy Club all the time, and it was like Greg Rogel was one of the headliners that was there like all the time, like Mike Britt, Mike Yard.
Oh yeah,
and these guys were just killers. All like killers that were, but were like. But they were so like sort of effortless in their delivery. Like, dude, New York comics, like none of these guys, all these guys were like murderers. Like so much better than all the podcasters that everyone listens to, like in terms of how good they could do on stage, right?
Yep.
And there was no outlet. New York comedy back then was a weird little, it was like jazz music. It's like, who the fuck are these guys? Like nobody would know who they are unless you really know.
Right.
To watch the Tonight Show for the comedians. You have to watch half hours on Comedy Central. It just didn't.
That was a big. They would play those things because it was early Comedy Central. They'd play them ad nauseum. Like, that's how I got.
All these guys that I'm naming had half hours on comedy. Greg Rogel is a half hour comedy. Such a Russ Meneve, Bunny Bolton. All these guys were like the regulars.
They would play Gaffigan's over and over again.
Oh, Gaffigan was the fucking man, dude.
Tent in the background.
What?
The one with the circus tent in the background.
Gaffigan was the first comic that I ever saw like annihilate New York Comedy Club, and he did verbatim the same set every time I saw him for the first year and a half.
Right.
It was just the Hot Pocket, but that was like the big Hot Pockets. This guy's pale. People were rolling over in the fucking aisles for these little tricks that he had that were just like whatever it was. He fucking murdered.
He came out with these two, and I didn't know this, in Tower Records in Long Island. I went there and I got two Gaffigan CDs that I thought were just like regular like major label produced, you know. I didn't think of it. I just bought them because they were regular CDs. And then years later, I tried to find them. One was called More Moomoos, and then something else. And I tried to find them, and they were gone. And he took them. It was self produced. He did it. He like independently produced it. Took them off the market, and then a lot of it became Mr. Universe. That special.
Oh wow!
But I was like, oh, you don't even think when you're a kid and you go get a CD, you're like, this all comes from the same place. You don't think of it as like, oh, 5,000 of these just went out locally or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
It's crazy.
Like, yeah, it's crazy.
You know what I do wish that professional like clubs did though is Greg Stone and I were talking about this last night. Put one like maniac spot. Like at the Cellar, the Stand, New York Comedy Club, all like one spot for like the crazy guy at the open mic who only comedians laughed at.
Yes.
You still put that guy on like Friday late shows.
Well, didn't they?
Just because I love that shit. Everyone loves that one like wacky fucking like, what is this?
That's a very specific to our comedian lives thing where like you'll watch an open mic and then, because it's mostly comedians and then just a crazy person who heard that they can get a microphone.
Yes.
But I'm talking about the crazy person who shows up for 5 years straight.
Yeah.
And like
and doesn't stop.
And tries to like hone their shit a little bit. And you're like, oh, they're going on. Oh, yeah, it's the duck man's going on. And you know what I mean? Like only comedians laugh. It's the weirdest.
He just tells jokes through a kazoo. Dude, it's fucking hilarious.
Dude, somebody else's story once. Raquel Diapiece had a story once. She said she did an open mic at a bar. She doesn't do stand-up anymore. Super funny, though. And she said some dude was last on this open mic. He waited around all night. Everybody was kind of put off by him. And he literally pulled down his pants, took a pencil, and stuck it up his ass. And immediately everybody that worked at the bar started freaking out and just shut it down. And they're like, you can never do this again.
Jesus.
And they just dragged the guy out of the bar. Yeah,
but dude, we had seriously, a guy named Duckman in New Orleans.
Talk about taking a number two.
Hey!
Boom! Number two pencil. God, that's a good one.
What's Duckman? Duckman was what?
He was just like one of these old fucking old guy who talked like this, but he brought a plastic duck, like a hunting duck, on stage. He put it on the stool, and he would just ramble. Ude Akuse, who do you say? That was his Ude Akuse, who's on first bit. But just inevitably, at the end of his set, when he was done, he would just out of nowhere grab the duck and go, ah, ah, flack. That was his fucking thing. And we would all just be like glued to the stage. Like, when's it coming? When's it coming? When there it is, the Aflac moment. And it's fucking insane, ridiculous. And a bachelorette party's not going to get it. And I understand. But yeah, I think like the balance of like, that's one thing that annoys me about clubs sometimes. Where it's like everybody's so cool.
Well, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Comedy is cool New York and sucks. LA.
But it's trying to be so cool on stage.
And what you see online,
it's ridiculous.
Seems like comedy is cool. But it's almost like the rest of like, when you go out of like New York and LA, the rest of the country is like, it's much more representative of what the rest of the country is.
Sure.
Where it's a bunch of fucking weirdos. And that nobody's cool. Nobody's really fucking good looking. Nobody's really getting laid. Nobody's really happy. And that's a lot of what comedy is. And when you go, I think when you go to like a small town, you're reminded of that. And you're reminded of what comedy was when we first moved here. Because I started going to comedy clubs in 2001. And that's when I got exposed to comedy, the New York comedy scene, right after 9/11. And it was just a bunch of fucking weirdos. And where Ozzy Baez was the door guy at the New York Comedy Club. He used to live above the club. We used to just do a bunch of blow in his apartment all the time.
The one on 24th?
On 24th. Yeah. And he died. I remember he died. I went to his funeral. Like it was, but he checked me in. I remember I was selling comedy club tickets for the club. And, you know, then I found out Ozzy was hosting the show. And I was like, whoa, Ozzy's hosting the show. And then they introduced him. I was like, you've seen this guy on HBO? And I was like, Ozzy's been on HBO? What? No way.
He just took the intro. Dude, I was like,
why are you kidding me, dude? I was so... And he had like a... It was like an extra role in some movie, right? So, and that's why it was HBO, right? His credit?
Right.
Because they played the movie on HBO once, I guess. But
because it counts.
Yeah, dude, it counts. Because that's what it was back in the day. It was whatever could be. What was your first fake credit that you used? Like the first one that...
I've never used fake credits. But
I'm not saying a fake credit. What I'm saying, what is your first credit? That was a stretch.
Mine was MTV. I went and I featured at Stress Factory, and it's actually kind of funny because I was on MTV for 2 seconds because they did an episode for Saint Germain, and I was just in the background for 2 seconds, like some show. I forget the guy's name. It's like a documentary thing.
You were in the background.
I was in the background. MTV,
yeah,
and I used MTV.
That's what I'm saying. That's perfect. That's not a fake credit. You're really on MTV.
I'm on MTV.
You're on MTV. Mine was. The People's Court. The People's Court Raw.
What the fuck is the People's Court Raw?
It was so they were like
just with wrestlers.
When I was selling comedy club tickets, they came around like they had a camera crew out one day, and they were like, we're doing a special thing that's going to be like on the People's Court, like interstitial, like where we're going to ask you, like we're going to give you like the facts of something, and you have to say who you think is right.
Okay.
And they use my thing.
It Harvey Levin?
They didn't even use my thing in the TV show. They used my thing in like the promo for the TV show. It like flashed through my face, just flashed on the thing for a second. And that was what I would tell them. They're like, what do you want me to say about you? Tell them the People's Court Raw.
I mean, one that I tried to fucking prevent people from getting a hold of or using was Tyra.
Oh, really?
You remember? So Sean O'Connor, who I think he writes for shit now.
I remember that. You guys went and were in the audience, right?
Yeah, no. Tyra like hired 3 open mic comedians to be on a dating segment. And they hired us to fuck with this girl But then last minute, we're like, wait, don't fuck with her, actually. Be genuine.
No.
And we're like, wait, what? No, wait, what are you talking about? And it was, I'm talking last minute, like, hey, everyone in places. All right, sound speeding. By the way, guys, treat this seriously. We don't want to mess with you. What? So it was just this weird, and like, then the three of us were being interviewed by Tara, and we were just there to get booed by the audience.
Oh, no.
But she asked me a question and had to reach over someone to put the mic in my face. So I took it. I thought she was handing the microphone to me.
Oh, no.
And she was like, oh, you're just going to take the mic. And the place went fucking...
white boy going to take that mic?
I was like, and I said something dumb and gave it back to her. But that was like my first ever time on any kind of TV thing in 2007 or 8. And there was a time where people were like, can I say Tyra? And I was like, no.
That's
I don't want. I want to move past that experience.
Oh, my God.
It was brutal.
When the thing with MTV happened, I brought it up because I was at Stress Factory and it was freaking Vinny Brandt. And he goes, all right, what credits you got? And I go, and he's breaking my balls. I go, MTV? And he goes, we overuse it. We use it too much. What else? And I go, that's it. And he goes, all right, Mark, we'll get somebody else. Thanks, Sean. We'll see you. And he walks away.
No, he was fucking around. Yeah.
And I immediately my stomach dropped. My heart dropped. Vinny Brandt,
who owns the Stress Factory, loves to prank young comedians. It's one of his favorite. Didn't he do one to you?
No, I fucked with him back.
Oh, you fucked with him back and he couldn't get you. That's right.
He tried to do this bit that like his hand didn't work.
Yeah, he the dead fish.
And he kept talking about how he had like a problem with his hand. Yeah.
So he goes to shake your hand.
Yeah.
And instead of doing a firm handshake, he gives you like a dead fish. And you're like, that's weird. The first time he met me, he did the same thing.
And then he said to somebody that he had like a neurological thing or something. So then he offered me the dead fish hand, and I was like, well, this is obviously a thing.
Right.
So I just split his middle fingers and licked in between. I figured it was either going to go so bad or so good.
You don't know who you're dealing with.
First time he met Mike Vecchione. This is fucking so funny, dude. Vecchione's first, you know, Vecchione's hosting at the Stress Factory. This is, you know, a decade and a half ago minimum, you know, probably even more, 20 years ago almost, right? And Vecchione gets off stage and Vinny comes up to him. This is the first show, first night. Vinny comes up to him. He's like, dude, what the fuck? And Vecchione's like, what? He's like, dude, you just did my fucking act. You did my whole act verbatim. And Mike's like, what? He's like, yeah, dude, all those fucking jokes, those are my jokes. And Vinny will sell it. Vinny actually
can sell it.
He sells it, dude. And he walks away and leaves Vecchione there for like a half an hour and says nothing, dude. Like eyeballing him from across the room, like giving him a mean mug. And Vecchione's in his head. He's going to Jay. He's like, that's it, dude. The Stress Factory. This was my big break. You know, Vec's wearing it. He comes up to him later on. He's like, no, I was kidding.
Yeah, that was, he did that kind of similar with this comic, Brendan Ayer, who's super funny.
Yeah, I love Brendan.
And Brendan was opening, did like a one nighter right there, whatever it was. And Brendan was opening, and then he came in and he goes, hey, I was great, but I hate to tell you that bit you have is, like, you know, Sean Patton's. I'm sorry, man. It's like Patton's bit. And he was like, and Brendan was his first time there, and same kind of thing. He was like, no, it's not. No, it's mine. And he's like, I'm sorry, man. You ripped him off. You can't do it tomorrow night. And he bought it. And then he throws to me and goes, right, Sean? Isn't that?
Yeah, yeah.
And
no,
I was like, yeah, man.
He tries to get everybody in on it. You're uncomfortably lying to your friend. You see them in pain.
That's why it's called the Stress Factor. That's why it's called that. Well, dude, I only heard this secondhand, but I believe it to be true. Todd Glass, at the who I fucking love, at the Improv in L.A., was going on after the Sklar brothers, and he's told the host, he's like, bring me up as this guy who's late getting here, but he's here now. So Todd goes up and just starts doing the Sklar brothers, same that they did on stage, just starts doing it over again, verbatim, but just him. And after like a few minutes of just weird silence, he goes, wait a minute. Did the goddamn Sklars do my entire act again? It was like, well, it's my act, so I'm going to do it. And he just did it, but just as him. Because there's two of them, so he's just like, you know, our dad. That's right, our dad. Okay, the royal hour. Yeah. Dude, that's,
he's so awesome.
He's awesome. Glass is fucking great.
Yeah, brilliant.
All right, real quick, let's get a couple more of these stories in because we do have to wrap in just a little bit. It's been a really fun show so far. It is Pride Month. Let's do this story. I think this is interesting. Burger King has a Pride Whopper. A Whopper And it, yeah, people are not happy about this Pride Whopper.
Yeah, it's called the shameless fucking just, money grab.
They just wait for the meat to get molded. Like, it's green. It's Pride.
What is that? Is that it? They put two tops, two bottoms. Yeah,
two tops or two bottoms.
Wait, it's not. That's it. No, that's not.
Is that real?
I think it's real.
It's real.
Oh, that's.
Two tops.
I take it back.
What would you rather, two tops or two bottoms?
You know what?
I like two top bottoms. Oh, I mean, oh, I would rather the two.
Sean just said every answer. Tops, bottoms, tops.
I mean, to eat, I would rather the two tops because I like the sesame seeds. But
yeah.
I think as a gay guy, I'd probably want to be two.
No, I'm talking about to eat. I think to eat, I think the two bottoms just because I think it makes a more.
It's a sandwich. That's not a burger.
Well, it feels like
two tops is going to be too much fluffiness.
Too much fluff. Two bottoms, it gives it a better.
Wait, are you talking about the better, sandwich or the game?
It's a better grip. I feel like with the two bottoms.
Once again,
yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, yeah.
Once again, we're talking about the sandwich here.
Two tops. You can't put a hamburger. You shouldn't be able to put it down and have it roll on its side. That's not.
You shouldn't point. Put it down, right?
Hey.
Only thing you put it down, you call it, baby. Burgers.
Once again, are we talking?
Once again, I'm talking
you
about.
You guys do look like you would host a best hamburger web series where you guys just go around from burger shop to burger shop reviewing the burgers. The
Food Network just, dude, hey, here we are, the Shawns.
He was on a show called Best Bars when they were on
the
bed. Which, and you look like you should be doing that as well.
Oh, God. That show killed me.
Dude, Best Burgers. That's a great web series. Let's go. I want to have a burger. I love a burger.
I love burgers.
I
fight burgers.
A burger, dude. If I honestly, on my deathbed, it was like, you know, death row or whatever, it's your final meal, I think I would truly get like an incredible burger. Like the Stan's burger.
Not an incredible burger, like a good burger.
An actual delicious, amazing burger. I mean, I've had some great ones, dude. The Stan is an incredible burger. There's a place called Harlem.
But I like all burgers. Is that weird? Like, it's not. I like a designer shishi fucking small burger, but I also like McDonald's. Give me a fucking.
What was that burger place right over here, Shannon? There was that Ralph used to take us.
Black Angus.
No, there's one that's fucking right here. I wonder if it's still open.
It turns into Clinton, right? It's on Clinton.
No. It's above us. Shannon, do me a favor. Text Ralph right now and ask him the burger place that we used to go to. If I have time, I'll take you guys for this burger right now if it's open. I think I might be able to.
I know what you're saying, though, because you're like...
Brindle Burger.
I feel the same thing about pizza, where I'm like, oh, I can have Domino's and regular pizza in the same day and don't think I'm having pizza twice in the day. Like, there's a certain level of pizza where I'm like, oh, Domino's has its own qualities and so does, like, really, really good pizza.
Of course, I'll do a Whopper or I'll do, like, a high-end burger. I just fucking love... A burger, whatever it is, dude, a cheeseburger, the cheese, the fucking meat, the bun, the fucking vegetables, the crunchiness, the juiciness, it's a great fucking thing.
I was just in Rockaway Beach. I went to this random like beachside burger spot called Rippers, and it was a perfect burger.
Perfect burger.
They cooked it perfectly. Damn. It was all the proportions were right. Everything was just absolute, and the fries were phenomenal. Like it's like one of those kind of.
Yeah.
How much do the fries matter in a burger? Like you put it as one thing. It's like trailers when you go to see the movie.
So yeah, it does matter. Here's the thing: if look, I'm on a diet right now, right, and I wouldn't eat fries right now, and I would typically do no bun on my burger right now. But if let's say I was gonna have a little,
we're talking about like cheating. Yeah,
you're cheating. The fries do matter to a certain degree. So for example, I'll tell you that's why I think Five Guys sucks because their fries are hot.
Oh,
trash.
See, I don't mind. I think In-N-Out fries are some of the worst fucking fries.
Are they crinkle? The crinkle?
Yeah. No, they're shoestring, but they are.
Oh yeah, I agree. No, they're terrible.
But it's like it's almost remarkable how famous that place is, and their fries are dog.
In-N-Out, honestly, now that I've lived my life, because I remember the first time I went, I was like, this is the fucking bomb, dude. In-N-Out is garbage. It's trash. You can get a way better burger. Shake Shack is by far a superior burger to all of these places.
Oh, yeah,
their fries are incredible. They got cheese fries, great milkshakes. Shake Shack has done it right. Shake Shack, I think, is top of the mountain in terms of all of the places. Just for the money, bang for the buck, availability. It's all over the country now at this point. I think Shake Shack is the best.
And I think there was a thing that changed. I don't know if you guys remember years ago, I remember people thinking the bigger the burger, the better. Like, remember Jackson Hole had like a giant burger for years. I think they probably still have it. I think there's a couple of them left. But like, I remember thinking like, oh, that's not what it's about. I think it's more about the quality of the burger than it is like how much, like you're not getting a side of beef on the bun.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been like that guy. Like, ooh, look, it's this tall.
Yeah, that same here.
Sucks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When I was a kid, me and my friends would try to do those contests all the time.
Like how many burgers you can eat? Or
well, like the big giant burger. If you eat it, you get your picture on the wall. to shame you. This is a fat piece of shit. Hey, just so you guys know, this is a piece of garbage. And he's currently shitting.
You remember earlier when you were talking about throwing your, like, Popeye spinach in your mouth, and it turns out we're just a bunch of happies. well, hamburger.
We did get into a deep hamburger conversation. We really loved it. I see Natalie's salivating in the mouth right now. Natalie, are you getting hungry for a burger?
Yes, but we were talking about fucking veggie burgers.
Tacos,
like
right? You
here.
Fucking lesbian? I know.
Yeah, of course.
Veggie burgers.
Shannon's a vegan, so she does some vegan horse shit.
Yeah.
All right, we'll wrap this one up on this last story.
We didn't really get into it though. So everybody's pissed because of the top and bottom thing.
Yeah,
I guess, right?
It's kind of a harmless. It's pretty harmless.
People, people get pissed off. I can't fight this fight anymore. Let gays be. Let them have their burgers. Sure. Yeah.
Only Australia, right?
But at this point,
Australian says Austria.
So okay. So when you understand when. When all the companies now come out and they do their rainbow flag logos,
yeah.
I just can't be the guy going, why do they do that? I don't care. And if you care, guys, go do something, create something. I get it. It stinks and it's a cash grab and it's fake. Yeah. But it's as simple as that. I can't get emotionally invested in fucking the fact that Mercedes-Benz changes their fucking logo to it. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't fucking give a shit.
Neither do I.
I was talking to Dave Smith about this specifically. The difference is, you know, people say get woke or, you know, go woke, go broke. And that's just not really true, right? Because I don't give a shit. If your company's woke and you make the best cheeseburger, you could be as woke. You can make it with fucking... literally, a tranny could kiss every burger with his fucking... Yeah. To wrap it up. And I'm still going to buy it because it's the best burger I'm ever going to have in my entire life.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit.
Burger Queen.
And the people that are on the left that are like hardcore lefties, they do give a shit. They will boycott your company if you don't agree with them politically. And that's, I think, really what's going on.
I think when it comes to food, people bend their ideals pretty quickly. Because I know a lot of people who are pretty liberal that will go to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And Chick-fil-A, that wasn't a real post, right? Where Chick-fil-A, it can't be real. There's no way. It said Pride Month, all one word.
With demon
capitalized in the middle of it. Because if you look at Pride Month, the word demon is right in the middle.
it can't be real.
It couldn't have been a real Chick-fil-A. It was like Chick-fil-A Boston or something.
Wait, doesn't one of the other burger chains have Bible quotes?
Yeah, that's In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, they have Bible quotes in the... underneath the cup, inside the little lip on underneath the soda cup.
In L.A. on Sunset between La Brea and Highland, right on the corner of La Brea, right off the corner of La Brea is an In-N-Out Burger, and right there on Highland's a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
and in the dead smack in the middle of Hollywood, and those fuckers are nonstop.
Nonsense.
Lines.
Exactly.
Quality, baby boy.
But people just want good food.
The middle of like Hollywood, mega woke left. There's also a shit ton of homeless people and some fucking lunatics. I used to live right there when I lived in LA.
Nice.
It was a bad. And Hollywood High School right there, too.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Tim Dillon's apartment looks into Beverly Hills High School. Like, there's the top. You can see inside of the school or from the top, from the roof. And Tim Dillon's apartment just looks directly into this high school. I'm like, Tim,
you are such
a pedophile. That is wild. All right, we got to go. Thank you guys so much for watching today's show. We will be back on Monday.
My host for Monday?
Hosting Monday. Zach's hosting Monday. I'll be back next Wednesday. Thank you guys for watching. We will check you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
That's all, folks.